Just when you thought there were no news at all to start off 2018, well, guess what? It's the executive shuffle of the WB, right? Now, do the executive shuffle.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League,
you know what?
There's no need to get mad. There's no need for kerfuffle. Just us execs doing the WB shuffle.
What's kerfuffle?
Do the WB shuffle.
What's kerfuffle?
Kerfuffle's like a Donnybrook.
What's a Donnybrook?
A Donnybrook is like a melee.
WB shuffle.
It's like a melee. You know
what's a melee?
A melee is like a ruckus.
Oh, you're creating ruckus.
WB shuffle.
It's a bit of a ruckus. Yeah.
Where are these words coming
They're
from?
They're some of my favorite
WB
words.
WB shuffle.
What was the word?
Kerfuffle, Donnybrook, a ruckus, a melee.
Listen, it was a very quickly established song. You saw he just told us we were going to do the WB shuffle, and then I came up with kerfuffle.
Yep, that's
pretty
right.
Pretty fast.
We're on top of it to start off the 2K18.
Guys, I dyed my hair pink and neither of you said anything.
I just looked and it looks amazing.
It's kind of weird that nobody said
of,
that either.
Shades
is it pink?
It's pinkish.
It's shades of
it
pink.
It was pinker a couple days ago.
Okay.
I'm going to go pinker.
Did you do it over the holidays for funsies?
I did.
Well, good.
Well, good for you
too. Did you use candy canes?
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people to be Harley Quinn use Kool-Aid.
Sure.
So yeah. That would make
I've thought
great
about
one
it myself.
Yeah. Aren't you kind of mad at Mikey Christmas right now?
Why would I be mad at Mikey Christmas?
Because where are our cookies?
We never got holiday cookies from him.
Just call him out on air, hoping he's listening.
And he's not here today. Of any day we could use Mikey Christmas, it is today. But once again, he's out fighting crime. He's busy. Hopefully, I mean, we'll get plenty of his thoughts on Twitter. Maybe we'll get lucky and get a phone call. I doubt we will. But anyways, this is a brand new year. It's 2018. This is the DC Movie News Show and the Popcorn Talk Network. What's up, everybody? We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter and Facebook. And my name's Johnny LaQuasto, at J Quasto everywhere. I'm wearing a jacket just because I already had it on, and I figured let's rock this jacket on the internet.
It looks really good.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I got it dry cleaned.
It's good, your shoulders. It's got a good shape.
I've added pads. I'm just kidding. I did not. So here's the deal, guys. Let's do the introductions. Mikey Christmas is not here. Follow him at Mike Kalinowski. That man right there, he's the host of FX Movie Download every single week on FX, as well as Man vs. Child.
I just want to say, let's not even say it, because I don't know when Man vs. Child is ever airing again this country.
And
so
I won't say it.
I'm going to lose Man vs. Child for 2018, which means executives, WB executives, or anyone out there, my phone is ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do business. Ready for a new show.
Clearly creative.
Oh, they should just call you directly?
In 2018, call me directly.
Yeah.
Or
I'm sure
email
your agent
me.
Will love that.
Yeah. Yeah. We can reroute.
There's clearly a need for creative.
Yeah. I can't believe we still have a show. Is this amazing? This is
like
our 16th year doing this? Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
How are we still doing this show?
I don't know, but we keep growing.
Wow. We started in 2014. Is that accurate or no?
Yes.
We started when the Marvel Cinematic Universe was already up and running hard. The DC movie universe was just getting off the ground. And some would argue that it has yet to.
And some would say that our show is doing better than some of the DC movies.
I think we have more thumbs up.
Some would say that if they listened to our show more, maybe the movies would be doing better.
That's a good point.
Even though I like all the movies.
I have enjoyed them.
Other than Man of Steel.
I would like to just say at the top of the show, to my nephew Max, you are a better Red Ranger than I am Megazord, and so you win, but I will get you next time.
I agree. You also eat French fries better.
Yes, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
And to Anya Fox, a belated happy birthday.
There you go.
A young girl who's a fan of the show.
Lovely.
Whose birthday was December 23rd.
Ooh.
And,
Anya.
And honestly, these movies we're talking about now with this new executive and all this, these are the movies for Anya. This is for the people of the future.
Sure.
I don't know if I'm going to make it to some of these movies come to fruition.
That's not true.
All right. Maybe
don't you say things like that, sir?
Well, the lovely voice and pink hair that you're witnessing right now, she is the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show. You can find her everywhere on the social medias at Roxy Stryer. She is also wearing her own homemade glasses right now. She is Roxy Stryer.
It's great. I love it.
Shot them all with my laser beam.
Laser beam.
That looks really good on the screen right now.
Yeah. You don't know that they're my hands as
glasses.
We're
killing it.
We're killing
the game.
I just had to tell you guys that.
Yeah.
Because now you know.
So how's the holiday?
you know.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Hanukkah mm-hmm. feels like years ago.
To both of you, happy Hanukkah.
It was
yeah.
a very long time ago. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I appreciate
Merry
that.
Christmas and appreciate a happy that. New year.
Appreciate that.
You know, 2018, I think some good things are happening, except for cannabis reform, which Jeff Sessions, dear God, oh, man.
What is he trying to do? What's he trying to do now?
You didn't hear about this
today? I didn't hear about this. I thought we were all legal.
He's 90. Can't someone just give him some weed and
he
calm down?
He effed so hard today.
He effed California?
No. The United States.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you guys afterwards. It has nothing to do with DC, except if you like comic books, you probably like cannabis as well.
Listen, don't make those associations. Comic books are not a gateway drug, kids.
Not at all. And if you are a kid, then not cool. But if you're a full-blown adult who also reads comic books and wears Batman on your shirt.
Sure.
And likes cannabis, ain't nothing wrong with that. Mm-mm.
Just when you thought Mm-mm. Sessions was going away.
Yeah.
Anyways. There's a pressing issue that we need to discuss. We were talking about it last night. We said, well, it's a slow week. The year just started. Sure, we got some Shazam stuff to talk about. And you talk about a bomb getting dropped on the entire collective DC Universe. It happened today. There is officially, we're always talking.
What
for the
time
last...
did I text you at, like 5 in the morning or something?
Yeah.
Like, I just rolled
it was
over.
Early, yeah.
It was super early. And then like, oh my God.
I'd gotten to bed at like 5. And so like I woke up, I was like, what
happened?
So it
must have been right after that. Yeah, because I went to bed around 5 too. You probably texted us at like 5:30.
I don't know what it was, but.
Yeah, that happened real early. Okay, before we talk about pros and cons of it,
sure.
How big of a deal do you really think it is? How big of a difference do you really believe that this change makes?
I mean, here's the thing. We've been asking this question for over 3 years that we've been doing this show. Who is the boss? Is there going to be their version of a Kevin Feige? According to this announcement, now there is, and his name is Walter Hamada.
Go, Walter. Get it, Walter.
Is it a big difference compared to what? I guess what I'm really confused about was when they started to kind of like go past the initial regime, and then it was announced that like John Berg and Jeff Johns were kind of being overseeing things, and it seemed like they were moving past the Zack Snyder verse into something new. I don't know that we ever saw that something new. Like the only movie that came out was Justice League.
And it was already halfway done.
And it was already halfway done. So I don't. Now, the question is, I don't know. I know some people out there, like Paul Ponte, friend of the show, I think he's in the chat right now.
Paul had a great question.
Paul had said, well, you know, so what did Jeff Johns have a chance to do? Just to fall on Sugihara's sword?
Well, actually, he said, what do you have a chance to do? Somebody else responded saying, fall on Sugihara's sword.
But he was saying, like, oh, here are some, like, dying projects and halfway finished things. Go fall. So
yes.
I don't know that it was ever the intention for Jeff Johns to be Kevin Feige. I can tell you he never had the power that Kevin Feige did. Because remember, Kevin Feige started Marvel Studios with Marvel, came to power, and then when they were acquired, he was already the boss of that, that they wanted to, of course, keep on because of their record of success.
Yes.
What Jeff Johns has never been is a successful movie producer.
Right.
I know he knows comics well, so I just didn't know. I like a lot of people, was hopeful... We're hopeful that, you know, he was going to be this guy. But now I still think we're in the same situation where Johns is the chief creative officer of DC. And now you have a guy who is a successful film producer, particularly with this Conjuring world, particularly with
It. Well, when you say successful, you mean monetarily. I know a lot of people like his movies.
I don't think he's a story guy.
Yeah.
I don't know he's a story guy, but maybe he's the kind of guy that can see when a story is good or not. Maybe he's not the guy that can steer a ship, but he can say red light, green light.
I have no problem with this person. I don't have a problem with him in any way, shape, or form. I just feel like this is like when you get a scratch on your arm and you put a Band-Aid on your knee. What does one have to do with the other one? People are having a problem with the creative behind DC. That's the scratch on the arm. They're not liking the creative of their films. So instead, we're going to put a Band-Aid on our execs? It doesn't really make sense.
I think it all comes down from the top. I mean, executive order is what's, you know, conductor.
But I know you don't think that Jeff Johns or John Berg are the ones who have been ruining films. So why are we Band-Aiding that part?
I don't know that somebody was disappointed with this, with their trajectory. I mean,
clearly,
that's all I can say. Like, you need a leader in place. And that this is a guy that has found success. It's interesting that he seems to have a good relationship with James Wan.
Yeah, that is
who's
nice.
Directing the next movie. And by the way, no matter what happens, first of all, I'll say that even though we're not going to have a lot of DC movies coming out in 2018, today makes it apparent that we will have plenty of DC news. So we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at it this way.
But second of all.
So, no, second of all, it was like, look at the next three movies that are coming out for DC. Okay, There's Wonder Woman 2. There's
Aquaman
first, and Shazam.
Shazam.
Which, I'm pretty excited about all three of those movies, even before today's news.
You don't think Flashpoint is before Wonder Woman 2?
No, I do not.
No. I think Wonder Woman 2 is going to be late.
I do not.
19.
I would be shocked if that happens.
I think Flashpoint's coming before
Wonder Woman 2. You're totally... You might be right, but that would be shocking to me, because as far as I'm concerned, these are the three movies that are red light, green light, 1, 2, 3, go. Or what is that? Mother May I? Or is it Coke and Pepsi?
And Pepsi, you're crossing each other. The bar and bat mitzvah season feels so far away at this point.
Wow, are those Jewish games?
The point is...
I don't know.
There are three movies on the slate that before this happened, and Jeff Johns did tweet, guys, today. He did welcome this guy to the party.
And he said, get on Twitter.
Yeah, but okay, this is Jeff Johns.
And Shazam specifically. Don't forget the Pony Smasher, who's been amazing.
David Sandberg's the man.
This is Pie, and it's called Humble, and Jeff Johns is spooning it into his mouth as slowly as he can. He's eating that Humble Pie.
I don't know if he got demoted or moved sideways, but I'm just telling you, I don't think he was ever in a position to...
moved upwards, and he got changed, and he didn't get to prove himself, and I feel bad for the dude, and now he has to help out and get on board, and if it's successful, is he going to get the credit now? No, he will not.
No.
I think this is a case of the best case scenario is going to be using Jeff Johns as the resource to guide story, and this executive choosing what the right projects are and how to market them and how to make sure that they're going down the right path. Like, I will say, like, you said Band-Aid for knees and elbows. Some could argue that, you know, Zack Snyder was the pain in the gut, and that, you know, putting the forehead on the Band-Aid on his forehead was getting Joss Whedon.
Sure.
Possibly.
Oh, that's for sure was a Band-Aid move. No
doubt
about
that. I can't even follow that analogy, but when guys, I don't blame you if you can either.
When it comes down to it, it's really simple. If Justice League was commercially as successful as they wanted it to be, we wouldn't be talking about this because no changes would have been made. But here I am looking at the numbers. Justice League domestically has made $226 million. In foreign markets, $425 million total, just over $650 million. They expected it to be around the $1 billion mark after the first month, and here we are almost 2 months since it's been released. This is clearly – I don't like using the word panic because, as you know, I'm Mr. Positivity. This is more or less a panic move on Warner Brothers' part.
I don't think that there's any problem with this move. I just don't think it actually helps anything. I'm not worried about this move. It's not like they're doing this and I'm like, uh-oh, what does that mean? It's just like, I don't know why.
I have to be optimistic. And this is, and I would encourage you, viewers, too, people that have written everything off. Here's the thing that we always go back to. Is you have all the time until the movie comes out to be excited about it. And when it comes out... You have to judge it for the piece of crap that it may be.
Don't we have a story about that today?
Sandberg?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. So, you know, I'm thinking like, listen, they're making changes, and I'm excited about the next three movies, and now I'm hoping with this guy, we're going to get some official announcements about projects that are happening. What's going to happen with Superman? What's really happening with Batman? Those are the answers that I hope that we're going to get out of 2018, at least... which direction they're going, and that's where I feel like this guy could be good.
And to his credit, him and Juan have a great chemistry. He's had success in the horror genre, which is, Roxy, obviously different than what we're going for.
Maybe. But you don't know the kind of turn that we're taking.
It's going to get dark. Justice League dark, anyone?
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Justice League Dark still
hanging back there.
Someone said, Geek Out Loud said, my guess is that they are just BSing until Aquaman comes out. Then they will announce a DC movie reboot. You know, I find that unlikely because they got Wonder Woman out there too, you know?
But it's even not just Wonder Woman. People are loving Ezra Miller. They absolutely love Momoa. They love Ray Fisher. Like, even people like Affleck, even though he's going somewhere, you know, they love these people. Why would we reboot?
Well, I think the world is pretty torn. I've been watching a lot of what people say about Affleck, and it's not overwhelmingly positive. People are so over this drama especially when you have people like Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot, who are such great brand ambassadors for DC, and no matter what's going on behind the scenes, they're conveying the message that characters of this sort of import should. And Affleck is just kind of like grumpy Hollywood guy.
Yes, he is.
So. I just don't think that the support is there. I think people are more than ready for a new Batman. I still don't know what's going on with the linked universe. And, it's disconcerting to some people because people say, like, all right, well, is this guy a fanboy? Does he know the property? Does he know the materials?
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about
Mike Kalinowski?
Hamada. Kalinowski definitely does.
Yeah, he's good.
So
he's
if Hamada isn't a fanboy like Kevin Feige was, right, does that mean that this is definitely a bad thing? I guess that's what we're asking right now.
I don't think so.
I don't necessarily think so either. And it's also not necessarily a good thing that a fanboy be in charge. But because we've seen that work with Feige, that's the example we have now.
That's why I feel like it would have worked with Johns.
But Johns is what? As the same kind of executive? Because I don't know that he wasn't as powerful an executive. I don't think they were going to give him the keys to the kingdom to make all these decisions. And I don't know that it's his expertise. He's not a tried and true film producer. He's a producer who's worked on all these TV shows and stuff, but not in the same way that Feige has done it for years and years and years with R. Avi Arad and all that, going back to when they both worked for Richard Donner.
Now, here's a paragraph that's very telling from Deadline. Hamada is known as a razor-sharp executive with a great eye for material and quality controlling production. Through four movies, the Conjuring franchise has reaped $1.2 billion off budget under $82 million. It was a big success, raking in close to, let's see what else. Huge success for them. Also, he also was in charge of Friday the 13th, 2009, Final Destination, Nightmare on Elm Street in 2010, Final Destination 5. Basically, what this tells you is that the dude knows how to make money.
Yeah, and he comes out of New Line. He comes out of the New Line branch of Warner Brothers.
And that's what Warner Brothers cares about. And so the guy seems like
our movies will make money.
He seems like a really good businessman, let's put it that way. Is he into the genre? You got to believe he wouldn't have taken the gig if he wasn't, right, Ron?
Well, again.
I'm not nervous about this. I just don't know if it is necessary. But
right,
okay.
You're just not excited about it.
Because why?
I agree with you. There's no I don't think that the proof is there. I guess the only reason to get excited about would be like, hopefully this is a proactive move in the right direction that
possibly.
You just don't know the answer.
Yeah,
to
I just don't know.
So that's where I go back to the idea of being hopeful until, you know, I'm just surprised that this is another direction shift, because I thought we were rolling the dice on Justice League. I did not expect Justice League to be great. Just because of what we knew about all the backstory, I was up for whatever. I wasn't as disappointed as some people were. But financially, you can't argue with the failure that it was the least successful opening of all the DC movies. When you put all your prime players in one movie, you don't open big.
It is making more money internationally than Justice League.
As it did a third Thor sequel, when people didn't even like the second Thor sequel. But because the brand strength of Marvel was so strong that people were going to show up again. And when the advance word came out that Thor was, that people loved it, that movie made more than Justice League. So,
it still blows my mind. Because, look, I enjoyed Justice League. I know plenty of people who certainly didn't, and they're a lot more strict of a critic than I am. I am just still so surprised at the vitriol that Justice League is receiving over the past couple of months. And the way it feels, I don't know how you guys think about it, but like, you know, in Little League, I think we all played some kind of Little League, you strike out and you just want to get back up to bat so fast. That's how I feel. Now we have to wait until November.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
I totally know what you mean. It's a good analogy.
That is definitely a very good analogy. People are saying now, was Christopher Nolan a DC fanboy? Or if it doesn't matter, then he made three awesome DC movies. Yeah, I totally hear you. You know?
How is that the same thing?
Well, just the idea that if somebody knows their job, right?
Yeah, but that's a director.
Right, that's creative. But, you know, it's like the guy that could be a great CEO of Papa John's Pizza. Damn it, bad example. That
bad
just got
example.
Get embroiled up.
Really?
Okay, let's say you're a CEO of Doritos, and then you get moved on to Burger King, okay? You were in the chips business, now you're in the burger business. If you're a successful CEO, some would argue that it doesn't exactly matter the product that you sell. Or I'll even say Doritos and then tires, Firestone tires. You bring that out. An executive... A really successful executive doesn't necessarily have to know the product that they produce.
You know what movie I just rewatched, though?
What's
and by
that?
Rewatched, I mean watched for the first time, but you guys have seen it.
The Founder?
No, I love that movie, though. The Steve Jobs movie.
Okay.
Steve Jobs. And what happens when you move over from Coca-Cola to Apple, different products, and you're successful in one place and another? You might not be as successful. They're different products.
It's who is not
different
as
successful? Knowledge base. The guy that is in Newsroom, who I love, Jeff Daniels.
Oh, he was the Coke guy?
Yeah.
And he went over the computers?
And he ends up out of the job.
So
I also think, Johnny, that the vitriol from Justice League was not fair and just based on Justice League. It was based on the previous movies. I mean, it was getting blamed for the sins of its previous films that people did show up to and did all go see. And that's why people didn't show up for it. They didn't care. They weren't invested. But
after Wonder Woman, man, that's what I was thinking. I was like, man, everyone's going to be jumping on this one, right? That's what
I
thought.
Yeah, I think...
Ladies, leave your men at home.
I think people must have seen it more as the direct sequel to BVS than to follow up Wonder Woman. I agree. I still think it's shocking. And I, you know, we'll talk later about whether it's the most disappointing film of the year or not, but...
Let's move on to a guy that I can't get enough of. First off, his Twitter profile photo is him cutting a banana with the peel still on with a knife and fork, which, love it already. He tweeted the other day...
Not delicious, by the way, guys.
Yeah, David F. Sandberg, at Pony Smasher. If anyone knows him, can we please get him on the show just to talk about life? Because I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, God knows he's not busy making movies. He's just stacking coke cans.
Sure, he's got
stacking all the coke cans.
All right, so he said, what did he say? Not to stop you from having an opinion about something that doesn't exist yet, but it's the internet after all. But as I designate a movie the obligatory best/worst ever, I find it helpful sometimes to have more info than a few character names. And then he also tweeted a photo of Zach Levi and a dog. In other news, here's a good boy who's going to be in Shazam, also pictured a dog. And then someone tweeted at him, fair enough, but remember if the movie ends up being bad, people won't let you forget about it till the end of times. And he said, yeah, because if I direct a shitty movie but refrain from tweeting anything, the internet will be all like, you know what? You gave it your best. That's all that matters, David. Hugs and kisses.
I can't. Yeah, that sounds like us for sure.
He's the best.
I love this guy so much.
Yeah.
He really seems cut from the cloth of like a lot of these independent films like Scott Derrickson and James Gunn. These guys have come up with smaller films, have their fan base, and are just taking with a grain of salt being catapulted into such a gigantic league. It's like I just appreciate that the guy has a framework before he's even shot a frame of film. Do they use film anymore? Do they shoot frames anymore? I don't know. I know Quentin Tarantino does.
Yeah, some of them.
But before he's even done that, he's got the right attitude. He's engaging the public. He's disengaging the hate by saying by calling them out, essentially. And I love all that. And I think this movie is going to be really different. I don't know if it's going to be aimed at a younger audience is possible, but I don't understand the vitriol. I guess people are saying that it's based totally on the New 52 and they don't want that. But I don't know if that's the case.
We talked about the new guy Walter's connection with James Wan, but it's interesting because I had forgotten that Sandberg was Annabelle creation, which is also a Walter piece. So he has a connection with him too. A
family film, Annabelle.
Yeah,
I actually started watching Annabelle creation on a plane over the holiday. And it's made me jump in my seat a whole bunch.
Where were you going?
I don't remember at this point. I think I was on my way to Hawaii.
Damn, boy. Yeah. I'm excited for you that you went.
It was a couple days. It was fun.
And what was that you watched?
Annabelle Creation.
And I watched that? A
little bit of it. It made me jump a bunch. I'm not a,
Jumping.
Any movie with creepy dolls generally freak me out more than anything else. Like creepy dolls or like little possessed kids, not really my cup of tea.
I think you'll be fine with Shazam, then.
I think I'm going to enjoy Shazam.
Now, here's a bigger question. With this Hamada guy, to get back to that for a second, do you think that, and Geoff Johns had even said at the tail end of last year that the movies will be in the same universe but not as interconnected. Do you think that they're doubling down on this idea and we're not going to see the team-ups, we're not going to see a Justice League follow-up, and yes, maybe in the same world, maybe some crossover, but like, how far are they going to go with this keep these guys separate, keep these worlds separate?
Well, I think that's exactly the opposite of what Flashpoint's intending on doing, so I think all bets are off
for that. But they said that the DC movies moving forward were going to be that.
But they didn't say they were all going to be separate, as in there was going to be no correlation. They just said that they were going to each be standalone films.
Right. So I guess what I'm asking is, does this new guy portend anything for that specifically? Meaning, he's going to be like, listen, we're going to make an Aquaman film, and we're going to market it and figure out Aquaman. We're going to do Flash. Yeah. We're going to figure out what Flash is.
Possibly.
And how that's going to work.
I hope not.
Worry about weaving this crazy web as it goes.
As fast as possible. Because with Justice League, I think what they learned, number one, is Justice League came way too early. You know, we had to learn about
it. Way too early, and nobody cared. Like, that's things. You don't get the benefit of bringing Superman back to life if people didn't give a shit that he died.
Right.
Because they didn't care about him in the second movie. Because enough people didn't even care about the first one. So you don't have this buildup. Like, the reason why people are going nuts for this Infinity War movie is that people have been watching this for 10 years, and they need to know. It's a soap opera. Yeah. They're sucked into All My Children. They're buying the soap. They're buying the
hot dogs. Oh, I loved All My Children growing up.
Hey, you know what? I was raised on All My Children.
Okay.
So Lucci?
Oh my God,
Susan
Lucci.
She's my real mom. I'm just kidding. My mom loves Susan.
She finally won the Academy Award after all those years, too.
I think it was an Emmy.
Sure.
What would the Academy Award
have been? I don't think they just made up an Academy Award for Susan Lucci. Although they should have.
Yeah,
they should have.
Whatever it is. But yeah, I think it's just like, you know, it's like people have been waiting for Thanos for years, and now everyone's all pumped up. I think they realize now that, okay, we can't be rushing stuff just to catch up to Marvel, so maybe they're going to start taking their time. Is it too late? That remains to be seen. I just think it's like we always say, one day at a time. They got to take it one film at a time.
I just am very excited to hear what, if any, announcements. I feel like this is every year we start saying this.
I know.
But like, what are we going to hear from this guy? What is he going to take it by the reins? And is he going to give us any information about bats, about soups? Are they going to boot Cavill and start over with a Superman?
No.
Are we going to actually get a proper Superman movie?
No. They love Cavill. Cavill loves
him. Yeah, I do too. I mean, and talk about redemption. Wolverine had two garbage movies. And I love the third one. Thor had a couple of decent movies.
No,
loved
it had
one
decent movie and one horrible movie.
Yeah, okay. I still thought it was fun, whatever. Dark World is a fun watch or two. But basically, I guess the big difference is people liked those performances right from the get-go. Like, Hugh Jackman had you in that first X-Men movie. So people were willing to go back through. Those first two Wolverines are pretty freaking awful movies. Mm-hmm. And so different. So I hope Cavill gets the chance to have a really great Superman movie. And I know a lot of people support that, too.
Moving on, our friend Chris Begley over at Batman-News.com. Really great website. We love those guys. You know, good conversation here with Asher Angel. Said a lot of things about the audition process for Billy Batson and, you know, getting to work with Zachary Levi. Seems like a really fun kid, and, you know, looks like a heck of a casting.
The two people interviewing that did this interview, I have never seen anything like this. So
what happened?
Guys, you need to watch this link.
We have a rundown we put together before the show, and this is something that I think Adam had added, and I hadn't watched it yet. And we were sitting here, and he's like, no, you need to watch it before we do the show. I clicked on this. I've never... What? They did not know that Shazam was a movie.
What? Who is this?
They did not know that he was playing Billy Batson or what it meant that he was playing Billy Batson.
Uh-huh.
They did not know who Zachary Levi was to him.
Okay.
It was like the most... I mean, it was fun because he's adorable.
Circa News, they're called.
And he's just like, it was shook. I was shook. And
he said, I was shook.
So fun. But like, they did not know anything.
So what you're saying is we should probably get him on the show.
Yes.
Yeah, we should get Ash. Guys, let's get Asher Angel to go on the show. This kid, he does seem really cool. He doesn't seem like an annoying child actor, so that's good coaching there. He talks about the fact that he had to hold on to the secret for 2 weeks. Oh, man.
Yeah, he was like, it was so hard. Cool. He was like, I had all on for 2 weeks. I knew Variety and Deadline would be reporting it. That'd be so cool. I couldn't tell anyone, though. It's like, you're adorable, and I love you.
There you go.
His hair is on fleek.
Oh, is it now?
Yes, and if I was a little girl, I'd totally have a big fat crush on him.
Roxy, are you sure you could still say that in 2018?
Not sure.
She can. She's got pink hair.
That's true.
You have carte blanche to say whatever you want.
Thank you.
That's right. Mm. DC Comics legend Jerry Ordway started off 2018 with a Shazam movie-influenced sketch. He actually tweeted it to Pony Smasher, Mr. David F. Sandberg, as well as Zachary Levi. And actually, we could show that to you right now.
Oh, that's
awesome. Hey, come on now. That's pretty cool. As they're about to start filming, we're only weeks away from filming, guys. Maybe a month-ish.
Damn.
So.
Yeah, I mean,
the movie that we
just
never
think about the conversation we could be having in 2019. You know, if Aquaman is as good as we hope it is, and then Shazam gives us something totally different, Wonder Woman 2, which I'm very excited for.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a good
time. Well, I don't even know.
Sky Patterson says, Sky Patterson, always in the chat role. Sky, good to see you. I still like, love, and respect Ben Affleck. I can't wait to see what he does going forward. I love Henry Cavill. I want them both to succeed and be awesome and beautiful. No hate here. I was waiting for the but there, Sky. I was waiting for the but. I think he's ready to move on from Batman. But no, Sky just wants to perpetuate love. We need more people like you, sir.
2018.
And the more I've been thinking about, you know, Zach Levi getting cast as Shazam, the more I kind of am on board with it, because watching Momoa in Justice League kind of was like, they didn't hire Momoa to play Aquaman. They kind of hired Momoa to be Momoa in a way. Whereas Zachary Levi, I think, can be Shazam, if that makes sense, as an actor. I think he's got more range than, say, like, Momoa was kind of just like, yo, I'm here. That's kind of him.
I mean, but, you know, in a way, though, if that's very Momoa, I think they hired Zach for being very Zach because he's known for being such a geek and such a nerd and hosting, like, his whole thing at Comic-Con and his sci-fi show that was, like, about nerd, and he had a Nerds Who Drink show. Like, so in a way, Shazam is this ultimate nerd because he's a kid who's got the powers of an adult. It's big as a superhero movie, and how cool that would be. And Zachary Levi is a guy who can convey that because he naturally already does. So I hear you, but I also don't think it's like such a major stretch.
Sure.
And I don't know. I feel like I could watch him for longer than John Cena, but that's just me.
And that's a fair argument. Moving on, Patty Jenkins had a couple of really cool quotes about Wonder Woman 2. She said, "We're actually making a totally different film with a lot of the same, similar, like things that we love, but it's its own movie completely. So it's not two to us. It's an entirely new adventure that we couldn't be luckier to do." So she doesn't look at it like a sequel. It's just a whole new Wonder Woman adventure.
I wonder what that means for the time period this film's going to be taking place.
You would think, you think maybe it took place before the first one?
I was wondering about that, but I don't think that, because the way they phrased it, I see why you would say that, Johnny.
Because that's a way to get, well.
But I don't think so, because why? Because she doesn't know about all this stuff. I don't think it would be, we'd be able to make it work.
Maybe so,
because
Chris
she'll
Pines
never have gone to, because then it would have to be only on Themyscira. We couldn't leave.
Maybe so Steve Trevor's not a ghost?
So what do you think? What do you think the time period for Wonder Woman, new Wonder Woman, will be?
I don't know, because was she saying this isn't a Wonder Woman 2? And then, like, what she's not saying is that it's more, like, after all the things we've seen, like, it's more of a post-Justice League, post, you know, completely different. Mm. Because a Wonder Woman 2 would take place sometime between World War One and present day.
A lot of people are responding with the 80s and stuff. That's heavily rumored. Gotta tell you.
Right.
Patty Jenkins has never said it's taking place in the 80s.
Yeah.
This is a lot of rumors, and we're as guilty as anyone for perpetuating it, but if anybody could find a quote from Patty Jenkins, who is making this movie, that says it's set in the 80s, you show it to me. You show it to me right now to my face.
Now, you show it to my internet.
That's right. Now, one quote she did say is that she hopes that Linda Carter will make a cameo. She said, "Linda's one of the dearest people to us. She's been a great mentor and a dear friend, and we're desperately trying to get her involved." Roxy, come on now.
Who's that?
Okay, Linda Carter.
That's great.
You know, I think that that is great, and I love it. But what I will say is it would be the first time that they have crossed over any of the TV actors with the film actors in the current DC TV universe, because Linda Carter has a role on Supergirl.
Yeah, please don't do that. So please don't put Linda Carter in this movie.
That would be interesting. Obviously, it's a different Earth, and we could justify it that way. And I think it's a nice homage if she was able to be there in some way, but I think it would also not make sense.
What if she's playing just like a regular, like a neighbor of something?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I guess it would be like Lou Ferrigno playing the security guard in the Incredible Hulk movie.
Right. Yeah. I don't think Linda Carter
it's
would be.
It's a big standout cameo.
Yeah, I don't think she would be Wonder Woman. I think they would put her in as,
but like, she's the president in Supergirl. I don't want them to do that, where it's like.
Yeah. That's enough.
Yeah.
Good point. James Wan tweeted out a really cool, mysterious set photo from Aquaman to say happy 2018 to everybody. Let's take a look at this. So what do y'all think? I have no thoughts, but it looks cool. I will say that.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Again, we have to take what we know right here. So we've heard from James Wan. We're hearing from David Sandberg. Our DC directors are taking to the social media right from the beginning. It's a cool-ass looking picture. I know some people were looking at that hook part, and we're trying to liken it to Aquaman's hook hand that he had like in the 90s or late 90s, what have you.
I think Juan
said it wasn't.
Yeah,
that,
I think that's too.
Although I would like to see Momoa lose a hand, maybe in this movie.
You want to see him lose it?
I think so. Like up close, like very gory.
Hmm. Well, we have another photo released from Aquaman. That the question is, who's he looking at here? It's pretty intense. Is it Arthur? Who knows?
Oh yes, chat roll. Is this Black Manta right now?
Is it Manta?
Is it too obvious just because the figure's in black and that's what we're meant to assume? But it looks like there's a staff there. I don't know what's going on.
Do we know that this wasn't just a shot?
Do you think that's somebody like in front, like behind the scenes or something?
Yeah.
James Wan says circumstances will allow him to grow as a human being and then realize the bigger picture of what it means to have these abilities.
He looks great.
Listen, and I just wanted to say, I maintain that I'm glad that they cut a lot of the Atlanta stuff out of Justice League if Juan was going in a different direction with the world building. Mm-hmm. If that's the reason why we didn't get all that Atlantis stuff in Zack Snyder, in the Zack Snyder cut, or I guess the Joss Whedon cut, then I'm okay with that, because I want to believe that Aquaman is going to be its own film, and it's not going to be hamstrung by that was something that was like to establish Atlantis in that quick one scene and like, nope, we have to build a whole movie around that. Like, that seems like that's not something I'm interested in. Like, I want to see, this is Juan's biggest film he's ever making. Like, sure. He's a lot to prove here.
Yes.
Obviously, Momoa is in like a Gal Gadot sort of position, because he was definitely a fan favorite in Justice League, but didn't carry the movie. He's never carried a movie successfully.
Sure.
You know, not even a Conan, which Arnold Schwarzenegger carried very well. So everybody's got a lot to prove here, and I just think it's a good thing that they're making their movie.
He does say that Black Manta's antagonism is very primal, that classic revenge story. So he said, you know, simplicity, you know, it's the human drive, and the simplicity of it's going to be really something that people, you know, gravitate towards. I'm excited to see what James Wan has. I think he's going to make a really, really cool film.
And let's hope that Aquaman can do in 2018 for white men what Wonder Woman did in 2017 for women.
Yeah.
Am I right?
That'd be great.
All right.
Christian Bale hasn't seen Ben Affleck as Batman yet. He said, I haven't seen it. I'm interested. My son seemed like he was really interested, but then I realized he just wanted to see the trailer, and that was it. I tend to go see films that my kids want to see. I have to confess, I'm not a huge superhero film fan. People seem surprised at that. I don't know why. I've not seen any of the Avengers films or any of them at all. I hear they're very good, but I'm quite happy just hearing they're very good.
So this was a way nicer way to kind of say something that Jodie Foster said. Like, Christian Bale and Jodie Foster both come out this week. Sorry to jump ahead.
No, please. Tell us about Jodie. I find this very interesting.
We'll talk about the Jodie Foster part of it in a little bit. But they both came out this week talking about superhero movies, saying that they don't really see them. Now, Jodie Foster took a big fat dump on them and was like, because they're ruining the watchingness of the America and the entire world. And Christian Bale was like, honestly, just not quite my cup of tea, but like, I totally get why you guys dig them. I have no problem with the fact that Christian Bale hasn't seen these movies. I have no problem with the fact that he hasn't seen Affleck. I'm not sure if he's totally telling the truth. Who knows if he really hasn't, or he just doesn't want to comment.
He seems to be pretty straightforward.
He had a life. He has a kid. He doesn't. If he hasn't seen them, he hasn't seen them. Like,
you guys heard how this guy was on the set of Terminator Salvation, right? You heard the famous Christian Bale meltdown.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We've all heard that. So what I take from that is this guy takes all his roles really seriously. Takes his job seriously. This is a perfect example of what we were talking about before as well. Is he a fanboy? Don't care. Don't believe it made his Batman better or worse. Or you know what? I take that back. Maybe he would have had a better Batman voice if he was a really big fan of like Kevin Conroy's work and looked at that a little bit better.
But I still thought he was great.
Like, he's a total genius as an actor. I love watching the guy. I get excited if he's going to be in a movie. I don't really care that he hasn't seen it, and I bet he wouldn't like those movies either.
I saw The Prestige for the first time last week.
What'd you think?
It was interesting. That's not what it's called. It's
Yeah.
Is that what it's
Prestige,
called?
Prestige, yeah, the Nolan film, yeah.
And the Magicians?
Yeah, Magicians, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
With David Bowie.
Oh.
Yeah, David Bowie was in it.
Playing Tesla.
Okay.
I'm Nikolai Tesla.
There were parts where they were really strong, only because Christian Bale. Anyway.
Of course. Gotham City Sirens is still happening. This from a few weeks ago, but hey, we haven't been here in a couple of weeks. So Margot Robbie recently said, I don't think anyone knows what's the next thing that's going to happen, but I will admit I've been working on a separate spinoff for Harley for a while now. Of course, David Ayer has been linked to it. He says he's confirmed that the project is still very much in development, but will not give any further details. So that basically says it's a thing, but don't expect it anytime soon as far as production.
Because where is it in relationship to Suicide Squad 2?
Lord knows.
Yeah, and I I'm just really interested to hear. So right now there are three movies that are announced. I mean, even Flashpoint, whatever. Like, I'd like to see everything. Like, what's the guy's name? Herman? What? Harold?
Oh. Who are you talking about?
The studio head, the new DC movie head.
Oh my God. Hamada. Walter Hamada.
Walter Hamada. Okay, so I'd like to know the slate, BWH and AWH. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to see if some of these...
Before Walter and after Walter.
Thank you. Yeah. Nice. Took me a while to get there, but
I
yes,
didn't
thank
get
you.
That at all.
So a lot of... Because all we've heard about DC is all the movies that are developing.
Sure.
And then nothing gets green lights. They don't address their fans. We've already established that's not what they do. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes. Also, you know, with these things too. I don't know if he's going to want to do it. He might not want to make Gotham City Sirens. Maybe. Who knows with the Hamada?
I would doubt that somebody who's interested in making money wouldn't want to make that movie. That wouldn't make sense.
What do you think? You know, she mentioned there's a Harley spinoff. What do you see it being? Do you see it being a Harley solo that she's talking about, or do you think it's Gotham City Sirens?
I think Gotham City Sirens.
That's what I would lean towards. You know, you not only have her star power, whoever else is going to be in the film, it's going to be probably some popular actresses.
Huge.
So,
yeah.
I do think if he's interested in making money, though, he does want to get Margot Robbie back in that role. Though.
Oh, yeah.
That seems foolish. Oh, so you're saying, like, okay.
Yes.
I misinterpreted what you were saying.
No, I'm saying he, yes, that I think he wants it because he wants Margot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you think, and where do you think the best, the most effective use of that would be? Like, in Suicide Squad or out of Suicide Squad? I know that's what you're just like.
I think she'll be in both.
You think she'll be in
absolutely,
both?
Absolutely,
I think so too.
I think I would love a situation where Harley Quinn is not in the Suicide Squad, and maybe they made an awesome Suicide Squad movie that doesn't have Harley Quinn, but maybe does have other
female members
in there.
Don't let Alexis Torres hear you say.
I like the character, but like I just thought it was so stupid that she was like on that team of people to do. I don't know. I don't want to dig up all wounds, but like yeah, like if like here is a man eating crocodile guy, and then like this angry girl with a bat. Like
I see your point.
And not even a ninja with a bat. Not even a ninja with like a sword that eats the souls of men. Which by the way, that's what she does.
She was a good fighter though.
Ripping open an open scab. It's like Suicide Squad was a.
We're going back to the Band-Aid cuts.
I put the Band-Aid on my forehead and I started ripping at that scab.
But I had a Band-Aid on my knee, so
it is infected now.
Why don't we enjoy a clip from Gotham by Gaslight's coming up. Batman is going to meet Jack the Ripper, which I am always fascinated with anything Jack the Ripper related. Clearly, this is not historical. We cannot confirm Batman has ever confronted Jack the Ripper.
But we also cannot deny.
No, we cannot deny. And so we're not going to. We're just going to enjoy the clip from this film that is going to be released on January 23rd. Oh, I already like it. So dark and ominous. I mean, they still don't really know who Jack the Ripper was. They think they may know at this
point. There's a lot of theories.
The main theory, the most popular, is a man who had severe mental issues, who was also he was a man of in the public eye, I think, but I might be wrong.
I forgot what I was just listening to, where somebody said that they were sure he was a kosher butcher.
Oh, yeah, it could be that. That would make sense.
Where did I hear that theory? And then that the Jews themselves dispatched of him.
You probably heard it from a rabbi.
I don't know if that was in the movie Darkest Hour. Where did I hear that?
Be so
fun. This is Ivy in the Gaslight world.
Ivy meets the Ripper.
Oh, she's taunting the Ripper.
Yeah. Pointiest fingers I've ever seen.
No. No. No.
She doesn't know he's the Ripper. Oh, my
God! Yeah! A couple weeks away, baby.
Oh, 1, 2, 3. Can't wait for that. Yeah, and let's not forget that we have that and then the new Death of Superman thing that's being redone this year, too. Like,
yeah.
And another Suicide Squad animated film.
And all of our shows.
And every week.
Oh, so many shows.
Yep. Every week there's going to be stuff.
TV shows.
Krypton.
Going on. So we already spoke about, you know, Jodie Foster, what her opinion was. Did you want to expound on that any further?
Basically, she was saying that it's ruining humanity. No, it's not exactly what she said. And I did talk about this a little bit this morning on Screen Junkies. And some light was shed on it for me saying, you know, she is a filmmaker and it's probably hard to book things at this time as a filmmaker who is not working on these huge tentpole movies. But it's hard. She says studios making bad content in order to appeal to the masses and shareholders is like fracking. You get the best return right now, but you wreck the earth.
Wow,
it's ruining the viewing habits of the American population and then ultimately the rest of the world.
Okay.
Which is like just the darkest, deepest thing that she could possibly do. She also said she does not want to make a $200 million movie about superheroes on CGI as sort of a spectacle.
Yeah.
And she also says that I feel like I make movies because there are things I have to say in order to figure out who I am or my place in the world or for me to evolve as a person.
Listen, I have a lot of respect for this person as an artist.
So do I.
There have been a lot of horrible blockbuster films made, you know.
There have been a lot of horrible indies.
She's saying superhero movies as a catch-all, and I'm sure including giant robots and giant monsters and anything like that that's more for spectacle than for substance. She did not grow up, you know, and has not read comic books for 30 years like I have. So for me, some of the great films that have come out in this particular genre in the past, like, 10, 15 years have literally been things that I was collecting magazines for that I would hope that would happen. They were not. And they made so many bad films through the 90s and in the early 2000s. And they're starting to get better because the public is becoming more discerning. You know, you could just as easily blame that on people being able to get all this kind of content that is of a greater quality at home, and indie films finding a home on streaming services at home.
Sure.
The reason that these blockbusters are what people are greenlighting is because it's the only thing that will get people out of their house and make them want to go see a thing. They want to be part of a Star Wars experience, or when they want to see a film that takes you into other worlds, like that imagery in that Doctor Strange film, like it or not, like I was like, it was not as effective at home when you see it on a screen. So yes, the $40 million, you know, drama films are gone. I get that. And it's, you know, but
it's a shame. I mean, the thing is, you know, VOD, it's changed everything for better or worse. I mean, Netflix is incredible. It's doing a lot for the world of comedy, but you know, the whole Netflix and chill, like I was home in Pennsylvania, for example, for New Year's. Nobody was going out. Everyone, granted, it was also -2 degrees, but nobody had interest in going out, for example. No one wanted to go see a
movie. Ticket sales are at the lowest right now that they have been in, I think it's like 2 decades. I'm not saying the amount of money they're making because inflation, but the amount of tickets that they're selling. It's the lowest that it's that it's been in years.
And that's directly because of all the content that's available at home, especially when you don't have to get a babysitter and all this kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, if there's just a huge economical component to this puzzle that doesn't have to do with just blaming, like, comic books. I mean, Jodie Foster kind of sounds like a parent from the 1950s, like, crumpling up your comics and throwing them in the garbage.
No, granted, there's still a space for movies that are comedy slash dramas. I mean, The Big Sick brought in tons of money this past year and had a low budget, so there's still a place for it, but obviously the blockbuster dramas are, you know, it's tough.
Where is that?
Jeremy Ledger wants to know, what are your guys' thoughts on the physical protest outside of WB Studios demanding the Snyder Cut of Justice League?
Oh.
We didn't put that in our rundown, but that is happening. I had heard Umberto talk about that.
I think it's the most self-righteous, spoiled, millennial BS I've ever heard.
Yep.
You cannot just demand that they do something and feel that you deserve it. And also, the same people protesting are the same people who were ready to light Snyder on fire a year ago. So get off of our lawn, kids.
I say let it go. I don't know why you're protesting for a film that could be worse than what you saw. Like, I don't know how you think that it's going to be a better movie, especially when it's not even fully made.
But that's what people said about BVS.
Get over it. A lot of take people, care of your family.
But BVS had made, Zack Snyder saw that whole production through, and he made the film, and then he put back stuff into it. Like, there is stuff that is not fully produced, that he left the film so early before he had his own reshoots. I just don't think that that film is really there the way people think. And I also think that people are just collectively such a gigantic baby that you can't just go protest a movie that doesn't exist and will it into existence, and you're going to get that. That's like, you know, that's like me dying every time that my nephew who's playing a Red Ranger tells me to walk in the direction so he can cut me down with his super ninja sword. I'm not going to go in the same direction twice, Max.
You learn. You learn the second time.
I mean, maybe you could make your nephew happy and get cut twice.
Listen, he's 3.5. He's
moving on. Moving on.
Well, hey, Variety decided to release the 11 most disappointing movies of 2017. And look, we just got to keep it real. They put the most disappointing of 2017 was Justice League. So I'm not going to read everything that the author wrote about Justice League. Needless to say, it was not very warm, and it also compared it to Batman and Robin.
I think this is so unfair.
I do too.
It is so unfair that they're saying Justice League is the most disappointing when Mummy is the second. Like, the Mummy, Snatched.
Did you watch that?
Are you kidding me? Baywatch. One? Like, I get that there's more hype around Justice League, but Justice League was a good effing movie. Okay. Piss off.
I think you have to look at two
Ghost
factors.
Ghost in the Shell.
when you think about disappointing movie, the way I interpret this is two factors. One, what is your anticipation, right? Hype. And how good is the movie? And then how much, you know, so the anticipation being like how much financial windfall the film should have. Sure. And then how good do you expect the film to be? For me, personally, I did not know what to expect of this film the week before it opened. I was not as disappointed as I thought I was going to be. But financially, the fact that it opened lower than any of the other DC movies, I think you can make an argument that it's the most disappointing, even though for me, I would say Kingsman The Golden Circle.
How did that do, by the way? Because I loved Kingsman 1. I didn't see 2 yet.
I didn't see 2 either. That's why Kingsman is the most disappointing, because I haven't even seen it.
Kingsman 2 was very good.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
See, and I haven't seen it because I've heard it was so bad.
It was very good. It was not as good, but it was very good.
Chat Roll, what did you think about Kingsman 2?
It was very good.
Oh, somebody's saying Last Jedi. Can't agree there.
I love Last Jedi.
You can read the article in Variety. I mean, I think most of these are very, I have to agree with. I haven't seen any of these movies. Just looking at them, I was like, yeah, downsizing? No.
And the reason they didn't put The Last Jedi on the list is because critics loved it.
Yeah.
So
I had friends I have not seen Star Wars yet either, but people are saying that that's the best one ever.
I think it's the best one of our lifetime, my lifetime.
Kingsman 2 is okay. No, I totally like that movie a lot. But listen, I think there's definitely an argument for Justice League just from the financial point of view. Because you should have been able to count on the fact that it was going to make crazy bucks. And it was just like, ran out of time.
Buckaroons.
Which I think, is, you know, what did it cost? $300 million to make? So obviously they still made double their money, but it just wasn't what WB wanted. And so now here we are today. Last thing before TV time, Cinema Blend just released an article, 10 Marvel and DC characters who could steal the show in 2018. The only DC characters on there are Aquaman and Black Manta.
Obviously.
They're the only two, it's the only movie we got this year. So
yeah, I saw a lot of people like, this is so biased towards Marvel. It's like, who else do they want them to put on there?
You could say Mara.
This is, in sports terms, I guess you would call this a rebuilding year for the DC franchise.
Sure, that's very fair.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
You know what else is a thing?
It's like the Knicks.
What else is a thing? What else is a thing? What's a thing? What's a thing, Johnny? Tell me what the thing is.
TV time is a thing.
It's time for Roxy's Drives TV time. All the girls
think Johnny's fine. Nah.
Yeah.
It's not really Christmas time anymore.
It's all
right. We didn't
get
our freaking cookies. Fracking.
All right, girl, take it away.
Oh, I'm girl. Okay. Black Lightning is right around the corner, guys, and we got a new TV spot. Let's check this mother-ish out.
Okay, Dan.
Wow, I tried to be cool. Did it sound cool?
No, you did. Totally.
Cool like this music.
This is about me trying to keep my
go, Crest.
I told you to get out my face.
Hey, now.
Jeff, where are you going?
To get our girls.
Muhammad Ali.
This reminds me very much of that awesome Luke Cage trailer.
Wow, okay.
That we set with...
And did you like Luke Cage or no?
Thanks for watching.
I did too.
I'm excited for Black Lightning. It's less than 2 weeks away. And
just one more. How many shows in the CW now? 17?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic about this one. I'm a little nervous... when they show the action in the costume, like at the end, like I it could look really silly. I don't know.
Well, let's talk more about it. There was an image of thunder from Black Lightning that I thought looked really badass. Adam, I don't know what you were saying when you were saying it looks just like a female Black Lightning.
Yeah, it looks
version.
Like just like.
Do you mean
that
in a good way or in a bad way?
Oh, just no. I'm just in general. I mean, like that's like the Fantastic Four costumes all look like they're all in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So that could be like it said they're a family. So I wasn't really aware of that. I thought this was.
It's a mom, a dad, two girls,
and they're all have electric or lightning or.
I think we're gonna see. I don't think so at first. I know he does. They don't. And they find out about him more. So we'll see. Also, talking more about Black Lightning, this one's interesting because we've been talking a lot about the fact that it is not involved in any of the other DC TV CW shows. And that although it is a Berlanti show, it is taking place in its own universe. Huh. But that doesn't mean that that's how the cast wants it to go.
Oh, you know there's going to be some crossover.
Yeah.
If the show does well, there'll be a crossover.
The cast
Christine Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the cast I have here, the cast of Black Lightning is actually going to be protesting outside of WB Studios this Saturday to get them into the rest of the Berlanti universe.
That's what I think so, too. They're going to they're gonna wait there all night if they have to. Okay. Christine Adams, who's playing Lynn Pierce, the ex-wife of Black Lightning, says, if I could pick one character from the DC universe to come on the show, it would be Supergirl. I'd love to see her in the show just because I think we are... Really, the show is about the girls. That's ultimately where we want to take it. We want young women to feel empowered, so it feels like Supergirl would be a really good fit.
Wait, for what show?
For Black Lightning. Oh. I'd love to see the three of them together kicking some butt, which is interesting because is it about the girls ultimately?
Black Lightning?
Yeah.
Maybe it is. He said we're going to go get our girls, so maybe the whole arc is about getting the girls back.
Maybe.
That makes me think of Supergirl. Have you been up on Supergirl?
Have I been up?
I mean, like, did you up to the season finale?
Yes.
I thought that episode was, like, maybe the best episode ever.
It's strong.
Rain?
Yeah.
I just like
that. A lot of people aren't liking Rain, though.
Really?
Yeah, they think that she looked like Crapola, but I think she looked great.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the mask, whatever. I just like a good old fight like that, and I love when your hero gets their butt kicked all over the place.
Bleed.
Did she bleed?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Spoilers. I really like that, too. So that's really strong.
Where is a Martian Manhunter when you need one? I know. Or a cousin of Metropolis.
You know what's happening with that show, though, and how it's sharing a time slot with Legends of Tomorrow coming back?
What do you mean, sharing a time slot?
So when we come back in like a week or so, 2 weeks, what's happening is that Flash and Arrow are going to finish out their seasons normally. Uh-huh. Supergirl and Legend of Tomorrow are going to share that time slot. So first Supergirl is going to have 4 episodes. Then Legend of Tomorrow is going to come back and have all of their episodes. And then when they're done, Supergirl is going to come back and play out until June, past when all the other shows are playing.
That's kind of interesting, I guess.
Very strange.
I got to say, I'm a fan of that. As someone that gets anxiety about watching all the CW shows.
Well, now we have something to watch in June. Yeah. Now, you know, we didn't have anything to watch in June other than iZombie and possibly Preacher. I don't know when that comes back. So, yeah, it's fine. It's kind of weird, but we'll see.
I kind of like that
Speaking
idea.
Of having shows to watch, Roxy, it looks like...
Okay, ooh. don't break my heart right now.
It's an article. It's
okay.
What they said.
This is more pertinent to Adam's life than any of ours about what's going on with the Disney deal, as we've talked about. But the Fox execs aren't really talking about what's going to go on with some of their shows, such as X-Files, but more importantly to this show, Gotham, and Lucifer. They were straight up asked about it because they have announced that The Gifted has gotten the green light for a second series, but they haven't said anything about the other shows. They said, it's a bit early to be talking about that, Fox chairman CEO Walden said. We are very happy with the creative direction on both of those shows, but we don't have anything to announce.
Right.
Well,
so
yeah, there's a big difference between The Gifted and Gotham and Lucifer.
Yes.
And that's, The Gifted is a Fox property.
And Gotham and Lucifer are not.
They are not. They're produced by Warner Brothers, and they're licensed to...
And that's what I've been telling you guys. I'm nervous that those shows are going to go away. Or maybe they get taken up by the streaming service.
The streaming service would be a very good natural place for them to go.
We don't know what is in their contract, though. We don't know if they legally could go to the streaming service after they leave there. So we would have to see.
It's interesting. They were mum about the X-Files when the brand new season is about to start. I found that. So that's a wait and see kind of thing, I guess.
I don't know. Human Target star.
Well, the X-Files premiered last night and it was beat by the new Ryan Murphy procedural 911.
Get out.
So I know that ratings-wise, X-Files did not debut particularly strong.
Maybe
and, like, that's, you know, I don't know how many more seasons they were planning on doing of that anyway, and Duchovny can't be
911 looks really intense. Just...
I didn't see it. Anybody in the chat room see 911? I didn't know it was Ryan Murphy. That actually makes me more interested in it than I would have been before.
You didn't know. You just told us.
But I found out after the fact.
Oh. All right. If you guys watch Human Target, which I do not, there's a star on that show who is joining The Flash. His name is Mark Valley, and he's been cast to play a district attorney, Anton Slater, in The Flash. That's according to TV Line. Valley will debut in Tuesday's The Trial of the Flash episode. In the comic books, Anton Slater prosecuted Barry Allen for the murder of the Reverse Flash. Mm. Slater was created by Kerry Bates and Carmine Infantino. So what's interesting about this is that obviously this is not for the murder of Reverse Flash, but it is for the murder of that guy that was older who left himself. I don't know what to call him at this point because he...
The thinker?
Yeah, but he was... But it's not... It was somebody else's body that is now there because the thinker's moved on. So whatever his actual name is. So we'll see. We'll see. I feel bad for Barry Allen.
So does this lawyer guy...
Are you caught up on the show? Did I just...
Yes, So this lawyer guy, does he become like some kind of like superhero vigilante or...
I don't know.
Is he just a lawyer? Because it seems like big casting for someone that's just going to be... A prosecutor.
I feel like probably bad dude.
Again, Cheryl, you must know. Who is that guy, really? You said he's from the comics.
Yes.
And he prosecuted him against the death of Reverse Flash?
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So we will see if we find anything more out about that. There was another episode of Lucifer this week. I almost missed it because, holy crap, like, I thought they were on hiatus for longer, but they weren't. And there was an episode, and what I will say is that this was interesting because this was a 100% flashback episode. They took you back to... prior to the show even starting. And I'm wondering if they're doing this to try to up viewership. Like, jump on board here, learn about our characters. But I'm not sure. But it was a really strong episode, but probably not as strong as the previous five. So, yeah. I still love that show.
But you're just a big fan of that show.
I love that show. And it was good. It was a good episode, but it was kind of like for beginners, I felt like.
Okay.
You know?
Cool.
So that's how I feel.
And is that covers TV time, I think.
That's TV time.
Well, considering we didn't think we'd have much to talk about, we sure did.
That is damn true. Oh, if you guys didn't check out our holiday special, we did one with Markia and Coy. We did a Marvel DC mashup. Adam and I went over there and we chatted some great things about 2017. So if you wanted to hear our opinion on any of the Marvel movies, you can check that out there.
Yeah, that episode did quite well, I believe.
I may have had a few drinks before that episode, so...
And maybe during.
Yeah, maybe during, too.
Possibly after.
Which just made...
You wouldn't know that.
It was a holiday party that just happened to be on YouTube.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Not at all.
I wish I could have been there for it. But with that said... and by the way, guys, you know, a lot of you ask us, like, hey, are you guys going to be doing any panels this year? We would love to. So if you know of any panels... in your area or that you think would be a good fit for, please hit us up on social media because we think between us and Marvel, we have a really strong following and that we think that, you know, some cons would be interested in having us. So we're certainly trying to get ourselves on some panels this year. But as you know, it's an interesting web to weave in that process. So please hit us up on Twitter. Let us know if you know of any that you think would be a good fit.
We'll panel your con.
That's right.
Or I'll con your panel.
I also wanted to admit, I don't know, this is like, it's an independent book. Is anybody watching Happy on Sci-Fi?
Mm-mm.
I heard it's great.
It's really good.
Christopher Maloney's great, and I've heard it's really funny.
Really, really good show. And also, the movie Darkest Hour with Gary Oldman, possibly the best superhero movie of the year. Winston Churchill definitely qualifies as a superhero.
Okay.
Amazing.
I'm down for anything historical. I'm down.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Okay, cool.
You're going to want to punch Nazis with your bare hands after that movie.
I always want to do that. So we are at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Spread the word. Send our link or the iTunes link around to as many friends as possible. We're trying to grow this show as much as we possibly can because we think we're pretty good at it. Make sure you follow Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski. Adam Gertler, go.
Hey, I'm at Adam Gertler. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, and we could talk about stuff. All kinds of stuff. I'm cooking stuff. If you're near a doghouse restaurant, this month we're doing a special called the Porkette About It. We partnered up with Chef Bruce Kalman, who is season of Top Chef. It's a porchetta seasoned hot dog. So it's a pork belly hot dog with rosemary and fennel pollen and lemon and garlic and chilies, topped with a jardiniere and crispy chicharrones on grilled Hawaiian bread. And $1 of every purchase will go to benefit No Kid Hungry. And that's all of January and February at Doghouse. I just had one for lunch today, and I'm very biased, and it was very delicious.
I love pork belly.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, I need that.
It's decadent.
Guys, I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Also, sorry that I Krypton, and I forgot to talk about it during TV time. It's just not as much on my radar, just being perfectly honest. But it was announced that the premiere will be March 21st.
Okay.
So for all of you guys, March 21st is when Krypton will be coming out. And I'll make sure I keep up to date on that. That was announced Krypton. In December. Krypton. Krypton is coming out. Yeah, cool. Anyway, love you guys.
Awesome. At Jay Quasto, QuastoAlbum.com. You want to pick that up. This Tuesday, I'll be in San Diego for a show. If you're in San Diego, I'll tell you how to get in free. Let's see. the Rec Room in Huntington Beach next Thursday the 11th. And next month, I'm going to be in Fort Wayne, Indiana for a weekend, as well as Louisville, Kentucky for a weekend, where I'm actually headlining both clubs. If you're anywhere near there, let me know, and I will try to hook you up. Otherwise, guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. What a great way to start 2018. We appreciate you all so much. The support you give us online is just the greatest. And thanks for being part of the family.
There's no need for a fuss, no need for a kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle.
Suspects Dex doing WB Shuffle.
Shuffle the Shuffle.
And shout out to Tony in the booth. Good night, everyone. Shuffle.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.